Yeah, obviously we looked at the game and how well we did at times the last night, but also, you know, the areas that they had threatened us before the game, we knew areas that they would, obviously, up front. The two wide guys are very good. You know, the two playmaker in the middle of the park, the Spanish lads. So, you know, they caused us trouble on certain occasions, but the main positives from our own point of view was that in the second half, we created a few chances and, you know, we've looked at areas that before the match that we thought we could cause them problems. The disappointing thing was we didn't get the away goal because it is important in Europe. But still, you know, we were underdogs and, you know, most people didn't expect us to do well. And obviously to bring the tie back 1-0, we know it's still possible to get through the round.
And how much more have you learned? Like it was pretty obvious you had done your homework and it was working well for you the other night. But how much more will you and the lads have learned on Genk?
Well, I suppose when you look at video and you break it down, and you know, all week before the game we're looking at different clips and clips of their different players and how they do it, you know, sometimes the players have to see it in action. So while you analyse everything and you go in with your strategy and your team shape and your team plan, you know, after the match, you know, guys got a better feeling for who they were playing against, the type of players they were, and it became real. So after the match, you know, and going through it there on the way home, and you know, obviously this is an important week for us preparing, you know, it gives us more focus on specific areas and specific things about them. And so from that point of view, I suppose you're more aware. Obviously they are more aware of us as well, but at the same time, you know, us being at home, you know, there's strengths that we think we can cancel out, and they're probably the areas that we're going to focus more on.
And I don't think it's going to be a problem to get people in, because last week is so fresh in the memory, John, but how important is home advantage this week now and the atmosphere packed Turner's Cross, and how much of a role that can play?
Absolutely huge. You know, I think you look back on last week and it was an absolutely incredible atmosphere from start to finish. You know, we'd asked the fans to come in early, get behind the team right from the start. And it was just an incredible occasion. But I think, you know, when you're the underdogs and you're not expected to win, you know, there's a sense of massive, I suppose, elation if you can beat the favourites. And, you know, coming off the pitch last week and the noise levels and the crowd staying back for so long afterwards, it was just incredible. And obviously, you know, this week is even a bigger task again. So already I'm told that, you know, half the ground has been sold out, you know, which is fantastic. And you know, we're still 5 days from the kickoff. So obviously the people that were there last week are coming again and more, which is brilliant. So we expect to have a 7,000 sellout, which will be great. And, you know, we just need to make the passion on the night and that atmosphere that we can rattle them, because you know these players, you know, are playing all over Europe. They're used to playing with in 30,000-40,000 seater stadiums where the crowd are back from the ground. You know, different in Turner's Cross where the crowd are literally standing on the sideline, so it can be intimidating. And we're certainly hoping, you know, like we rattled Hacken, that we can rattle these guys. And you know, and obviously we have to play well, but the most important thing that if we create that atmosphere, anything is possible.
And John, having had such a solid performance against Genk, coming back with just a goal, that one goal for Genk, like how confident are the lads that they can do it?
Well, I think there's great belief, because obviously, you know, when we were over in Genk the 2 days before the game, all the local papers and the press were saying that, you know, the Genk manager wanted the game done and dusted so that they were coming to Cork as a formality. So I think they were expecting probably to hit us for certainly two, but I think three, maybe four goals and have the tie over. So I think after the game, there was a certain amount of surprise and shock that, you know, this game is still on the knife edge. Now, we're not silly in the sense that we know you can't be going home and go straight out at them because they can open you up. But the most important thing is that we will have a game plan on the night. But we do know, like we did against Hacken, that the tie is still very much alive, and you know, we need to have massive concentration levels and play well on the night. But at the same time, you know, we're right in there, and while we are up against it, there is no doubt it still could be a fantastic night for the team, and that's what we're looking forward to.
John, a big player for you for the last couple of weeks is your captain, Greg Bolger, who's been playing through the pain barrier of an ankle injury. How is he after Thursday night?
Yeah, he's shattered. And, you know, the brilliant thing about Greg is that since Johnny Dunleavy got injured, Greg has stepped into the role of team captain. And it's sort of really driven him on. And I think his presence, his composure and his leadership in the team has brought everyone around him, and it just shows what an incredible player he is. In my opinion, he has been the best midfielder in Ireland for the last number of years. I've been delighted that he decided to join us this year, and he's going to be with us over the next couple of seasons and longer, hopefully. But the most important thing is that, you know, he hasn't been fully fit, but it hasn't affected his performance, which shows what a tough character he is. And yeah, he's been a brilliant player for us.
You mentioned in your post-match interview Thursday night that Hacken have actually showed an interest in Greg. I think some Cork City fans might kind of the ears popped there, pricked there.
Yeah, it was more tongue in cheek. There's always going to be speculation about players in the modern era. There's always lots of talk and stuff like that. The most important thing is that we're a tight knit group, fantastic bunch of players. You know, everyone's really focused on Thursday night. And I suppose in the bigger picture, you'll always have that speculation. But, you know, most of our squad are signed up for the next two seasons. And, you know, I suppose behind the scenes, we're doing a lot of work on that. So I can assure our fans, we're all looking forward to Thursday night. And the most important thing for us is that not only are we in Europe, you know, we have a big, massive league campaign to go to challenge Dundalk. And our focus is obviously on trying to win trophies before the season's out.
All right. As we talk about Greg there and possible interest from elsewhere, just talking about changes to the squad, two announced yesterday. And first we'll go with Dave Mulcahy, who we heard of earlier in the week because Bowes kind of got that news out there. But he's joining you again for the third time.
Yeah, well, it's one of those ones that, you know, we've been down to the bare bones in the sense that, you know, Owen O'Connell went back to Celtic, you know, and, you know, a real positive story for Owen. You know, they played the first half of the season with us, and he's now playing with the Celtic first team, which shows how much, you know, the benefits of being with us has brought him on and pushed him into that position, because he was really a bit in no man's land because the previous manager in Celtic hadn't him in his plans. So it just shows you how, you know, the benefit of playing with us has lifted his career, and we wish him all the best. And it's great for our lads to say that the first half of the season he had been with us. But obviously he's gone now. Johnny Dunleavy, unfortunately, is gone for the season. And John Kavanagh, who we expected to have back at the midpoint, is behind schedule. So you've three defenders missing, and we've only four defenders who are playing every week: McSweeney, Bennett, Brown and O'Connor. So we've looked over the last 3 or 4 weeks at bringing in someone, but it is difficult because we have a really good bunch of players, fantastic spirit within the group, and you need to bring in a person that's good enough to come into the team and also good enough to fit into the whole I suppose team philosophy. And, you know, we've had a lot of guys on trial and we just felt that they weren't good enough. We just felt they weren't, you know, ready to come into our team. And the Dave Mull situation broke late Sunday night, stroke Monday morning. And, you know, for a guy that has played the first half of the season with Bohemians, and while he's coming to the end of his career, he's an incredibly fit man, but he massive leadership, massive presence on the pitch, can play across the back, obviously gives us great cover at centre back, and a guy that will blend in with our team fantastically because he's that type of person. So I'm delighted to get a guy that basically can come straight into our team straight away, and that's what we needed. Mm. Obviously then Eric Grimes, a different scenario. Eric has come back from Leeds. Alan Smith, our reserve keeper, has got injured about a month ago. We brought in young Matthew Connor, who's an under 19 from Waterford. We have David Coffey, who's also an under 19s, and Adam Milet, but they all lack experience. And, you know, we have Eric, who's 21. He's been in England for 4 or 5 years. He has been training with us for the last couple of weeks. He's an Irish under 21 keeper. And it just was a no-brainer. Plus the fact he's a local boy. Now, he has to put the challenge up to Mark and to Matt. But at the same time, we can see at training that he's a serious goalkeeper. And, you know, it's great for us, a local lad coming back. And his career is only starting off. And obviously, he wants to challenge Mark to get in the first team. So to have him till the end of the season is great. And we'll see where it goes after that.
And by no means retiring someone like Mark McNulty, because he's been some servant. But are we looking at Eric? Is he looking at it? Are you looking at it long term, if Mark decides to retire down the next couple of years?
Well, I don't think Mark is looking anywhere that day.
No,
he's in the prime.
He'd probably kill me for that.
He's in the prime of his career, and you know, and he's been absolutely phenomenal for me. And, you know, with Phil Harrington, a goalkeeping coach, has done wonders as well. And I think with Eric, it's one of those ones we're just going to leave it go till end of the season, see where he's at. Okay. In the bigger picture, you know, whether he's around for next season, we don't know. So we'll deal with it when the season's over.
Okay, good stuff. And best of luck to Dave and Eric coming in. Outgoing then, just a word on Conor Ellis and Craig Donaldson going down to Cove for some first team action. It's good stuff, John.
It is. And the most important thing, I suppose, Lisa, is that, you know, Cork City, Cove Ramblers were a bit away from all the other clubs, and it's important that we work closely together. And, you know, it's great that Dave or that Stephen Henderson is manager below, because myself and Stephen work quite closely together, and you know it's good for me that I can loan players to Stephen and he can give them game time. And obviously we have a lot of underage players coming through that have real potential, but the gap between our 19s and the first team is massive. You know, particularly when you're challenged at the top of the Premier Division, particularly when you're playing in Europe, because it's a different level. So while we have the likes of Conor Ellis in training with us every day, Craig Donnan, we need him to get games. And, you know, letting him go to Cove on loan till the end of the season is a great move. It suits Cove, it suits Stephen, it suits me. And I suppose it builds our relation close together, builds a relation between both clubs. And hopefully going forward, we can do a lot more of that. And Conor scored his first goal last week, and I was at the game. He did very well. So I'm hoping that he'll get a few more goals before the season is out.
Good stuff, absolutely. Just business elsewhere yesterday as well, John. Yeah, the draw for the FAI Cup third round, and he drew Longford Town. So how did you assess that draw? I mean, it's not the worst of teams, but it is an away fixture.
Yeah, very tricky fixture. Obviously Longford at the moment are bottom of the Premier Division, but you know, we saw a couple of weeks ago they played Dundalk and Dundalk scored a last minute winner against them, so it's a tricky tie. Obviously it's going to come up in about 3 weeks time. We'll deal with it when it comes up. I suppose we would have preferred a home game, but after being in the Viva last year, we'd love to get back there and obviously win the cup. So it is a tricky tie, but it is a tie we can win, but we'll deal with it closer to the time.
And on that, John, you know, it's been all about Europe for the last couple of weeks, and we wouldn't change that for a second. But are you concerned about the management of an intense fixture schedule over the next couple of weeks or months?
To be honest with you, I'm not concerned, Lisa, because we have a fantastic bunch of players, and you know, you can't beat what's going on in Europe at the moment. That can only build, you know, the team spirit, and I suppose the belief within the team of how well they can play. And it is going to be difficult, there's no doubt about that, coming into three matches a week. And that's why we strengthen our panel and bring in the likes of Davey Mullin and Eric Grimes. But at the same time, you know, we look forward to the challenge. And I think when the European campaign is finished with, and obviously we're hoping that we can cause a major surprise at Thursday night, we'll deal with the league fixtures then. But you know, I see that as being a strength, and the whole European thing as a focus, that when we're finished and we're driving back into Europe or into our league games, it should be positive. And you know, when the games come up, we have this philosophy, we deal with it game by game, and that's the only way you can deal with it. And we'll deal with it when it comes up. And but it should benefit all this Europe. And as you say, why wouldn't you want to be in Europe? That's what you're here to play for. And you want incredible scenes like you had last week, and hopefully more of it to come next Thursday.
Yeah, and I know we're only halfway through the season, John, and I know that's what you'll fire straight back at me probably, but this season has been, you know, unbelievable already, in the sense that European action, when you look at the league, strong position, having beaten Dundalk as well, you know, it's all gone very, very well.
Well, Lisa, it hasn't just happened all of a sudden. You know, the management there, and I'm blessed because I have a very good management team around me, we work incredibly hard, and we've been on this project since the day, you know, that I was appointed, and we formed the management, and we're bringing the players in, and, you know, we're trying to bring the club places. There's a lot of fantastic work going on behind the scenes, and you know, a lot of, you know, our underage structures has been set up, and you know, we're really trying to drive the club and, you know, get back to, we are the top club in Ireland and challenging for trophies, and I think our fans can see that. Obviously we're hoping to win trophies, and we've been very close, but we haven't done it. Europe is the furthest we've ever got to, which has been fantastic, but it hasn't just happened overnight. This has been work going on for 3 years, and you know, maybe I think now people are seeing, you know, that there has been a plan in place, which there has, and where we're trying to get to. And even go back to, you know, simple things like, you know, even the last day at the ground of the Hacking match, you know, we had the big screen in there. We're trying to, you know, be progressive, get the fans to interact with the screen, and you know, it's going to be there this week, and there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. So not only on the team, on the commercial side as well, but you know, things so far have been good, but there's still a long, long way to go. And our plan is to keep driving this club and keep it at the top and trying to win trophies. And, you know, I'm doing everything in my power. John Cotter and all the lads with me are doing it. And we work really hard, and we push the lads hard. And that's what we're trying to do. And we give everything we have just to do that. And once we give our best shot at the end of the day, and when it's all over, once we can say that we've given it everything, that's all you can do.
And John, as you mentioned there, the different aspects that are going into developing Cork City, we got news, the FAI AGM has been held this weekend, and we got news this afternoon of some funding for League of Ireland clubs, each being given €5,000 to help in their strategic planning. What did you make of this news?
Yeah, I think it's great. We need a load more of it. I think John Delaney has said there a couple of weeks ago that we need to invest in the league, and he's anxious to do that. You know, we can see with our national team that we have 7 or 8 players that played at the Euros, and, you know, it just shows that there's a lot of potential in our league, and we just need everyone to work together. And obviously, you know, people would like more funding, but this is the type of initiative we need, you know, putting funding to clubs, getting clubs working for the money, clubs working together. And, you know, I welcome all that because it's positive, and we need that to grow our league. And, you know, if we all work together and we put more money into it, keep promoting and marketing the league, we'll go forward. And I think, you know, when you look at the European results this year, you know, it has arisen a lot of interest outside of people that follow the league, you know, soccer people in general who may have their eyes following English clubs. But I think it's been good, and the more of that we have, the better. And I welcome all that.
So it's a start. And we heard from Co-Rounders manager Stephen Henderson too, who, you know, has welcomed it as a huge financial boost to their club. But it has come in for some criticism today that it's not a huge sum of money, John, in the scheme of things when the FAI chief executive salary is considered and those sorts of aspects. But it's, for you, it's a start, hopefully.
I think, to be fair, and I don't want to go into anything else, but just to stay on the topic, you know, John Delaney said a couple of weeks ago he wants to put money into the league, he wants to promote it. Clubs have been crying out to market and promote the league, and I think it's a step in the right direction, and we should welcome it. And it'll never be enough, but if we can keep driving this and keep investing money, and particularly all the clubs to work together, and let's not be negative, let's be positive, row together, everyone do their bit, and if we do that, we'll all move forward. And that's what we need, because for too long there's been too much negativity. The league hasn't progressed for 40 years. It is time we all rode in together, and I absolutely welcome it. And I'm sure if we all do that, there'll be more to come, and that's what we need.
And while we're on the topic of money, actually, John, the European progression, while you've very adamantly said at this stage now, it's not about the money, it's about the progression. But myself and Rory were having a chat here one day, and I said, this is huge for City now, and what will it mean for their squad next year? And he was very quick to say, no, it's stability, Lisa. Like, when people hear this massive financial money that's coming from the European progression, what do you say to people in terms of what it will mean on the ground for the club?
Well, from my point of view, it was never about money. But at the same time, do I see it being a scenario that it means that next year your squad will be boosted by someone? Not at all. We don't do that. Force to go over this club. The whole ethos of the club is to make the club better. It's a community club. No one is in it to make money. No one's in it to make profit. Everything we make goes back into the club. The other side, Lisa, which is missed, is that a lot of people are writing so much money coming into the club. What they don't realise is this money doesn't come to the club for about another year and a half,
because
okay, that's the way it works. So even though you were in the last round, you actually were in the European competition that we're in. The final of that is being played next May. So UEFA don't pay out the money until all the TV money comes in afterwards. So it's August, September before you'll get it. So it's next August, September, 12 months before you'll get this money, just to be clear. So it's not like it's stacking up in the bank. That's not the way it works. But at the same time, you know, from our own club point of view, there's massive work going on behind the scenes. And I've said that, obviously, the new grounds in Glanmire, you know, where the club are looking at putting in 6 pitches, an all-weather pitch, you know, so there's massive money to go into to develop that, also into our underage. So, you know, we have to use the money in the right way. Will it come to me as the first team manager? No, it won't. Will some of it, a part of it possibly will, and that's what, you know, you'd look at. But the main thing for us was never about, you know, going out bringing in 10 new players. We're bringing players through from our underage. The ethos of our club is to promote younger players, promote our own players, and as you can see with the squad, that's what we do. Obviously, you bring in a few outside players, but the majority is we promote from within, and it's building up our underage our infrastructure, and that's what it's going to go to. And that's why winning has been so important these rounds, because it's going for that purpose. And as I said, we've had a bad history where the club went out of business 10 years ago. Mm. You know, with the new force set up, fans, own club, family club, community club, whatever way, what you want to call it, you know, that won't happen again. And it's just most important that we get the infrastructure right. And that's why I think behind the scenes, people probably haven't realised the amount of work that's going on and what's been done. So it's the bigger picture. While everyone looks at the first team, there's a bigger picture out there. And I'm well aware of that. And that's why I work towards that. And I suppose being in the club for 30 years, I know that. And that's the bigger picture for us all.
And very finally, John, just to bring the focus back on the football this week, can you enjoy this week preparing for such a big match, but albeit being at Turner's Cross and everything?
Well, it's a fantastic game to look forward to. You know, I'm walking every day looking at stuff. You know, I suppose you get off the plane at, you know, you get home at 4:30 or 5:00 when most lads go to bed on Thursday night stroke Friday morning. And, you know, we're in yesterday morning to tie up Davy Mulcahy's signing, Eric Grimes. So, but it's fantastic, Lisa. I love it. You know,
the lads will go back training tomorrow, yeah?
The lads were in recovery
a
bit yesterday afternoon. We're back in the training pitch tomorrow morning at 10. You know, we're in Monday morning. So it's helter-skelter for the week. You know, the management, we have to do our analysis on looking at the clips of going through the lads, you know, and what we're going to do in our team play and our game plan. But at the same time, you know, it's a fantastic week because, you know, you're going into a game where you're massive underdogs. Everyone expecting them to go through. We're going to be at home in front of a full house and we have a chance of winning. And, you know, that's a fantastic thing to look forward to, and that's what the players look forward to. And the brilliance of football is that the underdog always has a chance. And, you know, we know Thursday night that while they'll expect to win, at the same time, we know that if things go right for us, we can cause a massive, massive shock. And, you know, you look forward to that with massive enthusiasm.
Absolutely, John, we can't wait. Best luck with all that work this week, and thanks for joining us in studio.
Thanks, Lisa.